Hello and welcome to Nigger Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest Nigger news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Constantine here, and here is
Becky.
All right, so the main and the only topic of the week, so you can just switch off, it's Nikon financial results for 2022. We're going to talk about it. There's going to be more. So the good news is I'm going to put timestamps. If you're not into numbers, which are important in the long run, it's good to know what Nikon is doing financially. So it's not just your fancies at nine, it's also other things. But if you don't like this, just go press that other button. You know, it's called subscribe and like. And then
after you've done that, click the timestamp
exactly
to the segment that you actually want to look at.
All right, well, let's get to the meat of the financial report. So in summary, Nikon's revenue was 539.6 billion yen. Okay, so that's up on 88.4 billion yen, but down compared to the forecast projections by 10.4 billion. Operating profit is 49.9 billion, which is 106.1 billion up compared to the previous year. Now, let's look into the imaging division because that's where we photography enthusiasts are interested in.
So what we care about.
Exactly. And all we can say that imaging division finished the year by revenue of 178.2 billion. And that includes 19 billion earnings, which is roughly 10.7% margin on their products. That's what they make on their cameras in general, lenses altogether. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not great. Some companies like Tesla are close to 30%, but I guess imaging division sector is quite competitive. So you basically selling a lot of it at a cost or a 10.7% revenue. So they've shipped 700,000 bodies, which is a lot, and then 1.27 million lenses. So compared to last year, that's 16.7% down, and almost 6% down on the lens as well. And apparently they also shipped almost 200,000 Coolpix cameras or compact cameras, so exactly 190K.
But that's still less than last year.
It's still less than last year.
Less compact cameras were sold, which is shocking.
Yeah, I mean, did you buy a compact camera yourself this year? I didn't.
Maybe that's why.
That's why, exactly. So looking at that, what they say in terms of imaging business, that market was weak because of the shortages on semiconductors and other parts. I would include logistics as well as a part of it. We feel logistics here, obviously, because of Brexit, but all over the world, we definitely saw problems with deliveries as well as, you know, semiconductor shortage. Now,
very true.
What they say is looking at what they call DCIL, which is digital camera interchangeable lens segment, the DSLR market has shrunk quite a bit. So that's a big one, and it's logical. We saw that in the past, so they're selling less DSLRs. The good news is they grew their mirrorless system. So therefore, they say that actually the mirrorless has increased quite significantly. The Z9 and the lenses enjoyed strong sales and sold very, very well, effectively.
Hurrah.
So overall revenue is up 19% year on year, and that's include the currency exchange, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all included in there. Now, looking at currency exchange, we know that the dollar is quite strong right now. So it's gained quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. So that could potentially affect the final figures as well.
Yes.
Now, let's look at operating profit. So operating profit includes effectively what they put into operating the company. That includes restructuring of the company.
Right.
So they finally completed it. Remember we talked about it for the last 2 years, I think, when the podcast came out.
Yes, we have talked about their restructuring program.
So that's finally completed.
Wow. All right. It took you long enough.
Exactly. I know they're still building the new headquarters. Again, I think they're planning to move a lot of stuff there. But what they say that operating margin actually reached double digits. That's 10.7%, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And operating profit also increased because their one-off cost on certain things has also decreased by 23.7 billion. So again, those costs that they had in last year, they didn't have it before. That's why they called one, you know, not one-off, recurring, but one-off.
Like buying a premises or something like that would something be a one-off like cost.
Effectively, or investing in some other stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So that all effectively reduced their costs. So they are up compared to last year. We're also going to show you the graph in terms of sales and revenue, et cetera, et cetera. So have a look at that.
What might interest our viewership is the other divisions of Nikon. Maybe they're not familiar with the fact that they don't just do imaging, but they have a precision equipment business.
Yeah, and healthcare.
Healthcare business, components business,
yeah,
where they make parts for other larger industrial equipments. Then they also have industrial metrology
and
others. In terms of what makes the most for them. It's actually, as far as I understand, the precision equipment business, is it?
Well, it's at 211.2 billion. Of income, and imaging is the second at 178.2 billion income. So those are two main ones, and then healthcare is the third at 73.2 billion, and components is 40.8, and industrial 36, etc., etc.
But it is kind of interesting to see their own businesses under the Nikon umbrella. So, mm-hmm. you know, obviously people say Nikon, but perhaps don't realize that what they're referring to is this massive corporation, which doesn't just specialize in photographic equipment, but in all kinds of other bits and pieces. In fact, we've had viewers who've said, oh, I've got, you know, Nikon glass in the ophthalmometer, or whatever the word is, the opticians, in my local opticians, they use Nikon equipment and stuff. So
big fans.
Yeah.
But coming back to imaging division, basically those sales apparently gave them industry union share of 13.7% on the bodies, 13.5% on the lenses, and 7% on the compact. So they've projected 13.9, 14.1, and 7% respectively. So somewhere they're up, somewhere they're down, etc., etc. Now let's look at their assets and liabilities. If you look at this slide, it's actually their assets and liabilities are roughly about the same as last year. So it's not up or down, it's more or less the same, which means they're doing okay in general. And looking at capital expenditures, they're more or less the same. Now, let's have a look at a couple of things. So sales by division. So imaging products are making 33% of the sales. Then precision is at 41%. So it's actually precision is the main business, as we've discussed. Mm-hmm. And then the rest. And in terms of region of sales, China seems to be the top buyer of Nikon products at the moment at 28%. Then we have United States at 24%. Japan at 18, then Europe at 30%, and then the other, which includes all other countries, at 6%. So very interesting. I would say the China is first, but if you add Asia in general, which includes Japan and China, they're going to be at whopping 46% there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big number for Nikon. And Europe is only 30%. That's including UK, I assume.
Yes.
Unless we're in other right now. I'm not
no,
sure.
No, we're under the Nikon Europe umbrella. It's kind of interesting just from the viewpoint of, obviously it doesn't necessarily have any bearing on it, but you know how people just generally were saying how other regions are getting more Z9s than Europe.
Mm.
Whether or not this is true, we actually don't know. I don't think it's as disproportionate as the internet likes to make us think. However, it would make sense from Nikon's point of view to push supply into the areas where they have the most demand and most sales. It's not just imaging equipment. Obviously, this graph is for everything.
It actually makes sense. And by this logic, they're looking at the pre-orders and they decide where to ship their goods. And if you're looking at Japan and China combined, is at whopping 46%.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, we're going to see most of the sales going to go in there. Then we have United States at 24%, which is big. And then, yes, you have Europe. And maybe that's the reason why there are not many units that come into Europe. You never know, but my advice is, as a buyer, if you start to buy more, maybe you'll get more units in as well. I mean, as a collective buyer.
Yes. Not just you by yourself.
You over there. Don't hide behind the sofa.
it's a tricky one. Yeah. But when you look at it from a business perspective rather than just a consumer, viewpoint, it does make more business sense to kind of put things where the money is.
Absolutely. I agree with you on this one. It's we like to complain as consumers, and obviously we take those things personally. But looking at the numbers, it's understandable why we don't see so many deliveries to Europe compared to everyone else. And this is just part of life, I assume. It's nothing personal.
It's nothing personal. It's just a supply and demand situation. Interesting how in their sort of major products listing under imaging products, they've got the Z9, the ZFC. They say Niror lens because they can't spell.
They can't spell. obviously the spell check doesn't exist in the PDF software.
That's right. So they've got generic Nikkor or Niror lens, and then they've got the 70-200Z.
I know. I thought about this as well, and I think the Z9 and ZFC make sense. 7200 doesn't make sense to me.
I think that if we look at what one of our top sellers was from last year, it was the 70-200. So it's weird, but yeah.
And it's interesting as well where we have Nikkor lenses as a major point of sale as well, where we see more and more F-mount lenses being discontinued. So
right.
It is an interesting one. I personally think that it's just random pictures they put in there just for them to look pretty, but it could be, it could mean something.
It could have some hidden significance. Yeah.
Okay, let's look into research and development. So again, Nikon is spending about 27% of their budget on research and development for their imaging products.
Nice.
Which is nice. I think it's about the same as last year. So that in terms of this, this is about the same. But looking at sales units per category, so imaging division is effectively selling less and less every year. Coming from 2019 to March 2022, you can clearly see the pattern. So we have a line that's going down. So while I can see that mirrorless is roughly the same, the DSLR is definitely shrinking.
So in terms of forecast, what did you take from that? Was there something interesting?
Well, they actually projecting $210 billion in revenue for imaging.
Okay.
So which if we got 178.2 this year, 210 is better than 178.
Up is up.
Exactly. So it's roughly about 17.85%, which is nice. $22 billion in earnings, again, 15.7% up. And gross margin is at 10.5%, which is about the same. So it's 0.2% down compared to the year that just finished. So again, margin is 10%. I personally would want to see them increase the margin in the future because as an investor and a shareholder, you definitely want to see increased margin.
Always.
Again, example is Tesla. They've been increasing their margin from about 15% to about 30% now. So, which is huge. If you're an investor, you know that's good for growth of the company, et cetera, et cetera. So, but again, it's compared to industry. And again, with the shortage of semiconductors, I guess it's very difficult. The only way to increase the margin is by increasing the prices. So overall, as a consumer, you probably want to have that margin to be down.
Yeah.
Or at least for them to create the process that would reduce the cost of manufacturing by quite a bit. Now, in terms of projection of sales of bodies and lenses, it's about the same. So 700,000 for the bodies they expect to sell. And then 1.25 million lenses, which is down 20,000. Again, those are more or less the same. The compacts, however, they basically half in their projection. So instead of 190K, they're planning to sell only 100. And that's logical as well, because who buys compact cameras nowadays? So what we're going to see, I think, is 700,000 bodies. That's going to include Z9.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to include whichever cameras they're going to be released. I personally think we're going to see Z8 and Z30 at some point. And Z30 would be more or less maybe D5000 series cameras or something like this. So those will contribute to the sales. I think DSLRs will still shrink. We probably will see D850 being discontinued this year. What do you think? I mean, we're talking financial year, so that's ending March 2023.
Potentially. I hope not. Because I think that the D850 is one of those cameras that could keep going for at least another couple of years.
I think that's the only camera that could potentially sell.
I think we'll see a sort of petering out of some of the other DSLR models by the end of the financial year. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you which ones because I really hope that none of them get discontinued. I hope they keep producing them, but obviously we're not expecting to see any new DSLRs now. Mm. So whether or not they can financially keep making DSLRs and just keep that running, or whether they need to stop the production of them and sort of sell off the last of the brand new stock, like they did with the F6, for example. Only time will tell.
The only problem is when they used to sell last of brand new stock, they used to cut the prices by quite a bit. In this case, because of the semiconductor shortages, they don't do it anymore.
Yes.
I mean, luckily, in the United States, we've seen $500 off of the D850. We don't see it in the UK.
Nope.
So, but who knows, maybe in some regions they will do that just to push more figures. But that 700,000 figure will include less DSLRs compared to this year and more mirrorless units. So now they say that in terms of industry-wise, including other brands like Canon, Sony and Fuji, they're expecting 5.1 million bodies being sold collectively and 9.4 million lenses at 2.2 million compacts. So very interesting. Let's see how it goes and then we'll report on that.
Probably we will.
What are your general thoughts on that report, Becky?
I think the overall result looks very positive. It looks like they're making a profit, which is what we want to see from our favorite manufacturer anyway. So that's probably my only takeaway from the financial report, because most of it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, it's nice and steady, I would say. And as a shareholder, aka Warren Buffett, you want to have the calmness. And you want to have calmness because looking at the financial markets last week, it was all red. A lot of tech stocks dropped 50%. In some cases, would be up to 90%. So there is a serious crash happening now because of the inflation. If you look at Nikon stock, it's actually more or less going sideways. And it started this year at about 10 $10.7 and it's at $10.95 at the moment. So pretty good. It didn't drop as much as the other stocks did. So overall, I assume if you're an investor, you would appreciate that. Now, speaking of investors, they want to give shareholder return ratio of about 40%, which is really good, and also give them steady dividends and opportunistic share buyback. So talking about buyback, that's what they want to buy their share back because they believe they're doing well financially. So we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They want to buy up to 30 billion yen worth of their own stock, or up to 36 million a year. So that's going to happen. So overall, that just increased the confidence in shareholders. Again, some of you may find it not interesting. I think it's important to know, especially for the brand you love, that it's doing well. It's not going down as people were saying 2 years ago, that they're actually releasing cameras. And that means that they actually developing a really nice technology. And some cameras, like Z8, is going to be really nice.
That 27% of R&D budget is going to be really well spent.
Exactly. I think that money went into Z9, and now they can use that technology and make it cheaper. So it will trickle down to cheap offerings. And in my opinion, we will see Z8 for sure. So that's just matter of fact, you know, so according to my world. And then I personally think we have to see some sort of entry level into the system. So I don't know if you're going to see anything else. That's the thing. But I think some sort of Z30 or Z, or, you know, whatever they're going to call it, so which is going to be more expensive than D3000. So I think it's important entry factor. So we know that they're going for more margin. But again, getting camera like this, it's a good entry point for a lot of newcomers into that system and just in general photographers.
That's right. And this segment we like to call not financial advice. Now I'm going to do the next bit.
I'm just clapping Becky for getting through this.
I only yawned 27 times.
Exactly. But you survived. The good news is we're only going to do it every 3 months. It's just like a stock take.
Just like a stock take, exactly.
Just like a stock take, like a quarterly stock take.
I have to get through it.
All right, so let's move on to other news.
Other news. In other news, Nikon continues to discontinue F-mount lens products. I love how it continues to discontinue.
Yeah, as a writer.
That really just...
Yeah? Does it? You really feel like your eye starts to tick.
It does, okay. A bit. So there are several lenses that are listed as discontinued on the Nikon USA website, but you may be able to find them from your favorite retailer. So the 18-35G, the 16-35 f/4G, 17-35 2.8D, which has been discontinued and undiscontinued multiple times, the 70-200 f/4G, 300 f/4D, which is one we haven't seen for a good long while, 105 2.8 macro, that's the GVR, and the 24mm f3.5 tilt shift perspective control lens.
The popular choice.
Yes. Now, all of those lenses were actually discontinued from Nikon Europe a little while back. But for our USA viewers, we thought we would share the love and check on the Nikon USA website for you. So if you do want to pick up one of these, you can probably still find one. In fact, I think we've got one or two 18-35s left. Mm-hmm. We do have a few bits and pieces still in stock. And for our US viewers, you can probably find them on B&H and places like that.
That's true. So keep in mind that different products being discontinued in different regions at different times. So I would say 90% of lenses that you've mentioned have been discontinued on 1st of April in UK. Nikon Japan lists their old products on their website quite frequently, and a lot of lenses have been old products there. So do keep an eye on this. But if you do like your items brand new, then I would say get them while you can, because it looks like they will slowly will discontinue all of them. But secondhand market is huge. If you want to save up, definitely you can pick them up secondhand at good prices nowadays, because a lot of people move into mirrorless. So I would say it's not a bargain bin, but it's a good bargain to have.
Yes. Next up, the Z800mm lens is the best-selling lens at Yodobashi Camera in the second half of April. Yodobashi Camera published their top 10 best-selling lenses in their stories, and the 800mm took the top spot, which is amazing because we haven't seen very many of them.
Absolutely. Yodobashi Market is a huge retail store in Japan. It goes over several floors and it's all electronics from, let's say, consoles to photography, etc., etc. So what I love about Yodobashi Camera is their theme song, which I want to play to you right now.
They have a theme song.
If we get a copyright strike, I don't care.
Don't care for this one. We'll have it.
This issue is going to be the best.
I love it.
It's
I'm like, what is this camera? Camera. I'm like, what is this song?
I mean, this is, I wish Grace of Smith would have a song like this.
I do too.
Yodobashi Kamera. All right, they play this song throughout the shop.
Do they?
All the time. You go there. You know when you go to IKEA and you want to have a meatballs?
Yes.
You know, and you go to McDonald's and you want to have your double cheeseburger and fries.
Yes.
You go to Yodobashi Kamera, you want to hear the song.
It's part of the thing. In third place was the 70-200 f2.8 S lens from Nikon. Now, it's interesting that the 800mm took the top spot, considering that at least over here, we haven't actually seen that many.
But now looking at 18% and 28% of Japan and China sales combined, I'm not surprised anymore.
The mists are finally clearing.
Exactly.
And next up, DP Review published a Nikon Z51.2S sample gallery. That is well worth having a look at if you've been pondering about this very delightful but rather specialist heavy-duty 50mm lens. There is someone who has posted pictures.
Absolutely. And then people generally ask, like, can you send us some samples? Well, that's a good place to look at the samples. But also, Joe McNally published an article on his blog about his experience of 58mm f0.95 as well. With some images, so you want to compare those as well. Do have a look at his blog and do have a look at DP Review. Okay, let's move to third-party news. We finally have update on the Voigtlander lenses that are launching this month. Nocton 23 f1.2 aspherical, which is a DX lens, which is equivalent of 35mm on DX bodies like ZFC and Z50, will be launched on May 26. And APO Lantha 50mm f2 aspherical full-frame lens will be launched on May the 20th. Now, this is the launch in Japan. We are expecting for our supplier to let us know, but what we know is they are on the way to UK, so should be any minute now. Obviously, you can purchase them or pre-order them at Grace of Westminster, and we will be looking to reviewing them as soon as we get our hands on it.
Absolutely. Now, Casina also officially released some additional information on the new Voigtlander APO Lantha 35 f2 aspherical lens for the Z mounts. So we're going to have a 50 and then we'll have a 35 f2. The price in Japan is going to be 120,000
yen. 120,000
yen
is equal to £760.
Okay, so we'll see what the price is like over here. Shipping will start in June 2022, and again, we will be stocking the lens and hopefully getting our hands on a demo sample to review for you as well.
Absolutely. If you'd like to look at samples right now, you can see them at Cosina website and the links we supplied, but they also published some samples on their Facebook page as well. So have a look at those. I'm personally looking forward to the 35F2 because Apple Lantha lenses are considered to be the best on the market. And that 50, by a lot of people, they say it's one of the sharpest lenses. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting to see what this lens is like and maybe compare it to 50 1.2. obviously, one is manual focus in f2, another one is also focus in 1.2, and triple the price. But I think it would be an interesting comparison.
Certainly.
Fantastic. Now let's move on to some other third-party news. We have Company Yungo will announce their 51.8 autofocus Z lens on May the 20th. So far we know there's going to be, for Z mounts, 50mm, 11 elements and 8 groups, 9 blades of aperture and 58mm filter diameter. So close focusing distance is 45 centimeters. The good news about this is autofocus lens for Z mount, we will have now Yungo, we have Nikon lens, and I believe Viltrox will also release 50mm.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have a good range to choose from.
That's right. Now, other third-party news, we've got Meyer Optik Gorlitz will soon release a new Biotar 58mm f1.5 Mark II and a Biotar 75mm f1.5 Mark II. Both of those lenses are for the Z and F mounts, so that's good.
Yeah,
both options there.
Both are quite expensive. So 1,000 euros is the price, but they're supposed to be quite sharp, but also they're supposed to give you this swirly vintage type of bokeh. So if you're into that, it's definitely worth considering. Again, you can have a look at the samples taken with those lenses in the link provided below.
Excellent. Next up, Photodiox released their tilt-shift lens adapter for the Nikon Z mount. The F mount version has actually been out for a little while, but now we have a Z mount version, which means there are now 4 different adapters available for the Z mount lenses, including Mamiya, Hasselblad, Pentax.
And your favorite, Pentax 6-7.
That's right.
Which you really enjoyed.
I wonder if they can just send me one. so well, I can try it out.
If someone at Phototerics looks at us, and I know that Phototerics is subscribed to our channel, so if you'd like to give us a call, I have my Mir 7, you have Pentax 6-7, so we have access to the lenses that we can try on those.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
And I also, as a wish list, I would say it would be nice to also release F to Z adapter with the tilt and shift functionality, because obviously for Nikon users, they probably already have quite a few F-mount lens. So obviously, it's good to have a larger format lens, because when you start to apply tilt and shift, you might start to get a fall off on a full frame lens compared to medium format. But it would be, I think, as an experiment, release such an adapter, if, of course, you can.
Exactly. Now, there are videos available. We're going to pop the links there for you so that you can actually see what this looks like and how it actually pans out in reality.
So have a look at them and draw your own conclusions. So now let's move on to Weekend Read and Watch.
Yes, for your Weekend Read and Watch section, we have Birds in Flight with a Nikon Z9, Incredible Birds of Mexico by Jan Wegener,
Long Lenses, Z9 Autofocus, all of those great things that you love combined in one video.
Yes, we also have Long Lens Sport Photography by the Nikon School. Nikon School meets Joel Markland, and this is Nikon Europe's channel and features our good friend Rishi.
Exactly, Z9 and Long Lenses combined in one video.
And then next up we have Soul Dance, the Nikon Z9 film in 8K by Anthony Arendt.
Yes, and then the second one is actually a behind-the-scenes video and how they shot it. A lot of us photographers, we look at the videography created with DSLRs and mirrorless cameras, and we think, well, that looks cool, but I have no idea as a photographer how to achieve those results, because photographers think slightly differently from videographers. So, you know, we think to shoot this way, but we're not really imagining those things in motion.
That's
so
right.
The behind the scenes will help you to break down those changes in the little steps. So it will help you in the future to create videos like this. And obviously it's done in 8K at 60 frames to show capability of the camera as well.
Very nice indeed.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. If you're on YouTube, please give us a like and a subscribe. If you're on a podcast platform, then give us a follow, a review, a rating. It all helps massively.
And if you'd like to follow us on the Instagrams of the world, Becky is...
I'm at Rebecca_Danese.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. We publish the samples of the images we've taken for our YouTube reviews of the cameras and lenses. So do have a look at those and maybe follow if you can.
Thank you very much for watching.
And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Mail day. You don't know this song? Ray, a oh, drop of golden sun.
She's in the mountains.
The hills are alive with the sound of music. Anyway.
Hello.
I don't know if I can do this.